Okay, so shalom to everybody. We're going to learn Enaya, like we always do, but I thought of skipping a couple of paragraphs to get to something that Davka is connected with Teshuvah, being that we're the day before Erev Yom Kippur, and we're already at Erev Yom Kippur. It's actually an interesting machloket, whether there's a mitzvah to eat at night, the night before Yom Kippur. Some say yes, some say no. I imagine that's one of those mitzvot that people don't mind doing. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, reads as follows. If you didn't print it, so you can look in along with the screen share. Shoshat Varim Sarich Adam Lomar Betoch Beto Erev Shabbat Im Chashecha. Those who say Bame Madlikin know this Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Masechet Shabbat. It says that a person should say three things as Shabbat is entering, right before lighting candles, right before it actually is Shabbat. You should say Isartem. You should ask in your house to your wife or children, did you take off Ma'aser? Because Shabbat is Koveya for Ma'aser. Even if theoretically the food is outdoors and has not become obligated in Trumot Ma'asrot to the Kohanim and Levim yet, as soon as Shabbat comes in, even if you don't bring it indoors, it is Chayav in Trumot Ma'asrot. That's an important halacha. So the head of the household says, did you remember to take off Ma'aser so that we can eat the fruits and vegetables? Eravtem, did you make an Eruv? Here, the most common Eruv is Eruv Chatzerot, whereas today we do it on matzah. The whole yeshuv has a box of matzah. If you do it within, people used to live in a mavo or a chatzer, where you'd have four or five families living together. So if you wanted to be able to borrow or bring food from each other on Shabbat, you said we would make an Eruv. An Eruv is not just the Tzurat HaPetach, the string that surrounds it, but you also have to have ochel mishutaf. You have to have communal food. And like I said, being that matzah lasts for a long time, so that's the most common thing. Sometimes you have to make an eruv tchumin if you want to leave the yeshuv and go on a long walk in a certain direction. And the third is hadliku etaner, which is, okay, let's light. If we've already tied the food, we've already made the Eruv, so now the time is to light Shabbos candles. The Gemara asks, Minahani Mili, where do we learn out that a person should ask these three things before accepting Shabbat? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi learns it out from a Pasuk in Iyuv, from the book of Job. V'yadata ki shalom o'alecha ufakarata navcha velo techeta. Literally it means, and you should know that there is shalom, means peace or completion, in your tent. Ufakarata, you should command, navcha, usually means your wife, velo techeta, and you won't sin. And the obvious question that I didn't see any commentaries dealing with, but Rav Kook thinks it's an obvious question, and after he points it out, it is a good question. Why does the Pasuk say, talk about knowledge before giving the command? Right? Knowing that everything is okay, and command. The more logical order should be first command, right? Say, do this, do that. Has this been done? Has this not been done? And afterwards, after you know that it's been done, so things are complete. And the question is, why is the order changed around? Okay, Rav Kook writes as follows. Source number two. Gemar tachlit kol mitzvah ve'azhara shel Torah. The goal, the end goal of every mitzvah and azhara. Mitzvah is a positive commandment. The goal of doing the positive commandments and the azharot, the negative commandments, shel haTorah, of all the mitzvot of the Torah, hu haroshem shel haTov veKedusha shehi osa banefesh. The Torah has a very clear goal: to improve our spirituality, to improve our souls. And this is very important to point out. Professor Yeshaya Leibovich, the famous professor from Hebrew University, he was known to be fond of saying that we have no idea what the mitzvot are for. They're totally illogical, totally irrational. We just do them because God says that we have to. And that approach, ironically, is totally rejected by the Rambam. Why do I say ironically? Because Leibovich supposedly bases his hashkafa on the Rambam. And anybody who's read Leibovich's books knows that this is not the only place where he quotes the Rambam, but doesn't really agree with the Rambam. He teaches Leibovich and not so much the Rambam. I actually have, let me do a different screen share, where we'll see the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, in the Guide for the Perplexed, has a very interesting take on mitzvot. Yeah, the Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed, in the third article, chapter 31, where he talks about Tamei HaMitzvot, and I'll just have to remind that we don't know why God commanded us to do the mitzvot. Obviously, God is on a much higher level, and in the words of the Sefer HaYikarim, Lu Yidativ Hayitiv. If I were God, if I would understand God, I would be God. But the Rambam here wants to make the mitzvot ta'im. He wants to make them tasty, and he writes as follows, and it's very Rav Kook is going in this direction. In safek, notice, again, those who are looking for on your sheets, you don't have this source on your sheet. This is from a different source, but you can look on the share screen. The Rambam says, there is no doubt, shekol mitzvah me'elu ha-sheshmot u'shloshesrei mitzvot, he says, all of the 630 mitzvot are for a purpose. O limatan hashkafa nechona, to teach us proper ideology, thoughts. O lesiluk hashkafa ra'ah, or to get rid of, we have mitzvot that help us get rid of mistaken hashkafot. For example, all of the mitzvot not to serve idols, etc. O lematan chok tzedek, the other mitzvot are to set us in the righteous way. Morality. For example, the law is not to slander other people. Ola siluk avel, or to take care, to make sure that we don't make mistakes, like not stealing. Ola hadrich b'mida na'ala, or to teach us certain good ethical traits. Ola hazhir b'mida ra'a, or to make sure to educate us, the mitzvot, there are mitzvot that educate us to not get angry, to not be arrogant, etc., etc. The idea of returning lost objects, of helping other people, of all of the social mitzvot are really moral, so that we are morally good and not morally bad. And here the Rambam sums it up, Hakol talui b'shlosha dvarim. All of the mitzvot can be understood that they benefit us, that's the main point, what we're talking about, that the mitzvot benefit us in one of three things. Either hashkafically, philosophically, midot, or that we should have good ethical characteristics, uvemaasim haminaliim hamediniim, or good actions, thoughts, traits, and actions, where the Rambam points out that national actions are also very important, right? A person is obligated to serve in the Israeli army in order to help Am Yisrael when we're in trouble, to pay taxes, right? So what the Rambam is telling us here very clearly is that the mitzvot are for our benefit. And this is found several times in Sefer Dvarim. Et kol mitzvah sharnochim mitzvah etchem, all the mitzvot that I'm giving you, letov lach, for your benefit. The mitzvot are beneficial. So getting back to our source sheet, Rav Kook writes in source 2, Gemar tachlit kol mitzvah, just like we just saw on the Rambam, that there are goals, there are benefits for the mitzvot. What is the benefit? In order to leave a mark on our soul, our collective soul, our thoughts, our actions, and our traits. Paragraph bet. Al ken, therefore, otam dvarim shehim nimshechim veholchim al pim nagama kavua bebatei Yisrael aksherim, rak az tigale pulatam letova. Right? Usually the most important thing in a home is to have good hergelim, to have good habits, because everybody falls every now and then, and everybody does something good every now and then. But if we really want to benefit from the Torah, we have to make sure that our homes are running properly on a day-to-day basis. Because again, the heights of life or the falling in life, that's inevitable. But what Rav Kook is pointing out, and that's really as we prepare for Yom Kippur, it's important to know that we're not just in this for ourselves. We're in it for our spouses, for our children, for the whole atmosphere of our family. What does it mean, Adon Habayit, the master of the house? So in the days of Fiddler on the Roof, if you remember the song Tradition, who has the right of master of the house to have the final word at home? The papas, right? That's obviously not the point of the class. And also in the heading, does father still know best? It does make a difference if it's the father or the mother, especially today. There are a lot of homes, divorces, chas v'shalom, that there's no father around. The idea is that the head of the household has to take responsibility for the atmosphere in the home. And by the way, the fact that today women have a more active role in running the house and in making decisions should not be used by men as an excuse to pull back and, okay, so I'll let my wife take care of it. And for sure, in cases of divorces where the children are sometimes by the mother, sometimes by the father, usually when the whole family's together, there's this tradition, you know, that the father gets involved. And if he's not around, so he uses this as an excuse. And the point here is, and that's what Rav Kook is going to develop, it does not help anything to shift the responsibility to somewhere else. Because one of the problems is that if you have two people responsible, or if you have no people responsible, everything falls in between the chairs. And what Rav Kook is pointing out is that the master of the home, again, it doesn't make a difference if it's a man or if it's a woman, they have to take the responsibility of making sure that their home is run properly. Not just themselves, their children also. And we're not just talking about young children, we're talking about adolescent children, we're talking about your spouse. It might be that your husband or your wife might not be doing something properly. What Rav Kook is pointing out is that there is like a kibbutz. The family is one unit, and we all are responsible, especially those at the head of the family, are responsible for everyone else. Hayidia. Here Rav Kook is already beginning to explain the pasuk in Job and the Gemara. It starts with knowledge. We're not talking about giving commands. And after your command is obeyed, then you know things are okay. The pasuk turns the order around that you should know that things are okay so that you shouldn't need to give commands. We all know that commanding is very often boomerangs. It's counterproductive, right? Because as soon as you have to give a command, so the other person, he becomes, takes offense and takes defense. He starts defending himself. And so the first thing is you should know what is going on. Especially today, where parents have probably less influence than peers, than the internet, than the surroundings, what Rav Kook is learning out from the Gemara here is the first thing is yediyah. First, know what's going on in your children's room, behind the closed doors. And, that is the responsibility of the father, even in democracy. You can't say, well, I believe in democracy, and okay, my children, let them do what they want. That is not the Jewish way. We're not saying that you have to spank them for everything, especially teenage children. We'll talk about that soon. But you have to show that you care. Because if you don't show an interest in a topic, your kids will shuffle that topic to the bottom of the pile. There's a famous psychologist. His name slips my mind. He's French. Something like Papier or something like that. Who says that what is education about? Education is constantly shuffling and reshuffling priorities. And how does a child shuffle or reshuffle his priorities? By seeing what really is important. If you yell about a piece of china from your nice set breaking, so your child, he sees, wow, possessions are very important. And even if you tell him, well, Shabbat is also important, if you don't get as excited about it as you do about your china, your kid gets the message. And that is the first important message here. Second important message. Message number one is that the family is a unit where we are not just responsible for ourselves, we're responsible also for the rest of the family. And number two, it's important to take an active role in knowing who your children are playing with, what their internet is. It goes without saying, you know, that you need some kind of filter, internet remote or something, to make sure that your kids are not getting into problematic websites. But let us continue. Bekitzur, the yediyah, knowledge, he tavi belibo otam rishamim atovim shel hakdusha elyona, shemaasim halalu poalim bemshecham. The goal is to do the actions. The actions are to influence our souls. But it begins even before that. It begins with yediyah. Is my family atmosphere, is it running properly? And we all know that it's one of the 613 mitzvot. I brought it just for a review in Sefer Vayikra, source number 6. Lo tisna tachicha bilvavecha, hocheach tochiach et amitecha, velo tisa alav chet. We have an obligation to rebuke our friends, and that way we will not carry the burden of their sin. In other words, in the 1960s, they used to say, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And they used to say that in the context of, you know, going to protest against Vietnam or whatever they were doing in those days. Judaism believes that very strongly. You have to solve your friend's problem. How much more so your children's problem? Because all of Am Yisrael, all of Israel is one boat. And if a person drills a hole under his own seat, he can't say, well, it's under my seat, I paid for the seat, because he's going to sink the whole boat. This idea of stepping in, and by the way, there are gvulot. Just tonight, I got on the internet site where I answer questions, somebody asked me, what if I paid for a train, and somebody snuck in together with me? Do I have to protest? And the answer is yes. Now, obviously, if you're in New York City and the guy is 6'6", 300 pounds, you don't have to endanger your life in order to protest or in order to rebuke him. But if it's a Jew, you still don't have to endanger your life. But yes, there is an obligation to rebuke. And this idea, which is the main topic of today, Rav Kook relates to this a lot. Let's look together in Source 3, a very famous paragraph in Orot Yisrael, where Rav Kook writes and is directly connected with our topic, rebuking your children, rebuking your spouse. Ha'ava ha'gdola, she'anachnu o'avim et umatenu. The great love that we have for our nation, the nation of Israel, and everybody knows how much Rav Kook loved Am Yisrael, that great love, lo tisame et einenu milvakeret kol mumeha. That love should not blind us from criticizing that which is wrong in the Jewish people. We're not blind. And as opposed to the Western concept that love is blind and that when you're in love, you don't see problems, we all know that infatuation may be blind, but love has a magnifying glass. Because young people know that nobody criticizes them as much as their parents, and it's out of love. And that's until you're married. And then it's your husband or your wife who criticizes you more. Davka, because they love you, and that's part of the relationship, especially when we're talking about spiritual things, spiritual topics. If you love a person, you want to help them gain. You want them to benefit. The classic story, if you see a guy who's driving and a kid darts out in front of the car and the guy slams on the brake, almost runs the kid over, gets out of the car, chases the child two blocks down and yells at him and spanks him, that's obviously the father. Because if it's a total stranger, you might roll down your window and say, you got to be more careful. But if you really love a person, love has a magnifying glass. And we should criticize. Not criticize in an annoying way, but criticize that I want to help you, just like I want you to help me. So Rav Kook is telling us that our love for Israel doesn't mean we're blind and we say the state of Israel is perfect and the army is perfect and everything is perfect. We are not naive. Our love should not blind us from the faults of the state of Israel, of the people of Israel. Aval hinenu motzim et atzmiyuto, but even so, we still find the essence of each and every Jew. Even after we have rebuked them very freely and very openly, maybe even strongly, their essence is still nikiya mikol mum. Kulach yafa rayati umum ein bach. Rav Kook is beautifully bringing the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where the Song of Songs talks about the love relationship between God, who is the lover, and the people of Israel, who are his beloved. And Hashem says, you are perfect. We just said, nobody's perfect. And the more you love, the more you feel a need to help the other person improve. Rav Kook is saying, the essence is perfect. In other words, when we love our children, Banim atem la'Hashem Elokechem. And it's the same thing, the way God looks at the Jewish people and the way we should look at our children. It's all the same. Hashem wants us to be good. That's why we educate our children. That's why Hashem gives us the Torah mitzvot to educate us. And he wants us to have the proper priorities. And that's why if we don't rebuke, our kids are not going to have proper priorities. In other words, and by the way, theoretically, and sometimes practically, children need to rebuke their parents as well. There are not a few people here who made Aliyah, and their parents did not make Aliyah. And there are certain cases. We live in a generation where, in general, young people, children, are more idealistic than their parents are. And that's something that also, love and rebuke, not only do they not contradict, but they davka go together. I actually, as I today, without any connection with the class, I saw today in the Zohar, on Parshat HaShavua, Chazal tell us exactly this idea. Kol dodi dofek, again from Shir HaShirim, my beloved is knocking. It says in the Zohar, Dam Moshe. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the beloved of the people of Israel. Throughout the book of Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu castigates, he rebukes the Jewish people a lot. Mamrim ayitem, you were rebellious. And b'korev hikzaftem, you got God angry. And that's what it means, that Moshe is knocking on the door because he wants us to open our hearts and improve. Val kigon da de Moshe ochach lehu li Yisrael barachimitu birachimuta havu kol miloi. But every single word of Moshe, of rebuke of Moshe, is out of love. And by the way, that's the key to having your rebuke accepted. That the child knows you're doing it out of love. It's not a power struggle. As far as I'm concerned, you know what? Do what you want. But davka, because I love you, I would like you to get the benefit of being better. Okay? The Midrash Tanchuma, we'll see the Gemara Masachet Shabbat, in source 4 with the asterisk, this I added later, so those who are printed the sheets don't have this. The Gemara Masachet Shabbat, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Bet, Kol mi she'efshar limchot l'anshei beito velo micha. If a person is in a position that he can rebuke the people of his family, and he doesn't do it, nitpas al anshei beito, he is punished together with them. It's as if he himself has sinned. Be'anshei iro, if a person is in a position of authority, or say a rabbi of a city or of a yeshuv, if he doesn't rebuke people, right, we all know the rabbi, if his salary is paid by the community, he doesn't want to rebuke people. It's uncomfortable to rebuke. He's going to make enemies. Chazal tell us, no. If you don't rebuke, nitfas al anshei iro. The rabbi is going to pay the price and is going to be punished for the sins of all the people in his community because he could have and should have rebuked. And the same thing, b'chol ha'olam kulo. If a person has influence throughout the world, if he's the prime minister, if he's president, if he's the chief rabbi, if he doesn't rebuke, nitfas al kol ha'olam kulo. He's responsible for all the sins in the world. And this is exactly what Rav Kook is talking about, that a person is not just enough, I'm ready for Shabbat. Is everybody ready for Shabbat? It's not just enough that I try and follow the halacha. I have to make sure that all the rest of my family does as well, because the atmosphere of the family affects me, it affects the younger children, it affects the older people. It's a communal effort that we have to get involved. Maybe even a stronger source is source number 5 in the Midrash Tanchuma, where Vayomer Hashem Elav, Avor Betocha Ir, Hashem tells the Navi Yechezkel to go in the city and leave his mark. What does it mean, leave a mark? Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu leGavriel. Hashem says, as if it were to the angel Gabriel, Lech ureshom al mitzchan shel tzadikim, tav shel dyo, kidei shelo yishletu be malachei chabala v'yamutu. Go and make a mark, like the letter tav, make a mark on the sign of the righteous people in the city, so that the bad angels won't punish them. Ve'al mitzchan shel rishaim, tav shel adam, kidei shiyishletu be malachei chabala. And also make a mark on the foreheads of the evil people so that the evil angels should know that those are the ones you're supposed to punish. Obviously, Midrashim are not meant to be taken literally, but let's learn the lesson here. Nichnasa kategoria lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu amra lifanav ribono shel olam. The bad lawyer, the prosecuting lawyer, says, God Almighty, ma nishtanu elu me'elu? Why are you letting off the righteous people so easily? What's the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous? Amar la HaKadosh Baruch Hu, halalu tzadikim gemurim, v'halalu rishayim gemurim. What are you talking about? These are righteous, these are evil. Of course I can't confuse the two. So the prosecuting attorney says, Amra lo, hayal bi adam limchot v'lo michu. What do you mean? The righteous people, they could have and should have rebuked, and they didn't. And we saw that if you don't rebuke, you are liable for the same punishment. Maybe not exactly the same punishment, but you're definitely not a tzaddik. You're not righteous, because they could have rebuked. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, galui v'yadu, he answers the prosecuting attorney, galui v'yadu lefanai, or God knows everything, she'im michu b'hem lo ayu mekablim mehem. Even if the righteous people would have rebuked the bad people wouldn't have listened anyway. So, I don't have to punish the righteous people. Amra lifanav ribono shel olam. But the prosecuting angel says, God, in galui v'yadua lifanecha, God, you may know the future. And you may know that the bad people would not have listened to the rebuke. But lifnehem migalui. But the righteous people, you never know when your words might influence. Ulefichah hayalem limchod biadam, ulehid bazol tal kedushat shimcha, ulekabel al atzman velizbol hakaod miYisrael, kmo shehayu hanaviim sovlim miYisrael. And that's the story of Yechezkel. And we know that they tried to kill Yirmiyahu, and they did kill Yeshayahu, and it always because people, it's dangerous to rebuke. Because rebuking is you have to tell people that which they don't want to hear. Getting back to Enaya, Rav Kook is saying, we have no choice. You have to know what is going on in your family. Rav Kook continues, paragraph Gimel. Alken, hem tzrichim liot noda'im lo. The first thing is that the head of the house has to know what's going on. Behind the closed doors, what does his wife know? What does her husband know? What don't they know? What are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? V'na'asim b'pkudato b'zihirut miyuchada shel manhigu mefaked. And then afterwards, if something is wrong, you have to give the order. Notice how Rav Kook says it. B'zihirut miyuchada. You have to try and rebuke and right the wrong with the proper zihirut. Carefulness of the relationship between a leader and a commander and those who are subject to his command. Now here obviously we could and should sometimes spend a whole class on what does that mean. The Kuzari, for example, he writes that the ideal Jew is like a commander where he gives all of the people in his community, everything that they want. He's a very nice mayor. And that way, when he needs the people, they'll help him. And that should be the relationship between the head of the household and everyone else. Chazal, our rabbis, tell us that from the time a child is up to the height of your shoulder, don't rebuke him anymore. Because you have to be very, very careful. Does that mean totally not rebuke? No. But you gotta do it very sensitively. Don't do it head on. Maybe go out and shoot some baskets with him. Shoot some pool with him. And derech agav, you know, while you're in a friendly atmosphere, that is a good time to raise the issue that you want to raise. We once mentioned Rav Kook has in one of his letters that the mitzvah of hocheach tochiach is to rebuke in a way that it's going to be accepted. But if I yell at someone, or if I throw rocks and say, Shabbos, that's not going to get anyone to observe Shabbat. And Rav Kook says it's like yelling at him in French, and he doesn't know French. So what does it help? I get it off of my chest, but I've not done the mitzvah. Right? The whole idea is to be solution-oriented. And it depends on the atmosphere. Depends on, especially between spouses, right? Nobody likes to be corrected. But if the general atmosphere is good, or if someone is in a good mood, that might be a good time to wisely, maybe indirectly, maybe have somebody else or a common friend raise the issue. But you have to think about it, because if it's not, if there's no rebuke in the house, then the household gets the message that that topic is not important. Right? If a father asks, when supper? When are we eating? So everybody knows, okay, that's a important topic. If they ask each other, how much did you spend? How much didn't you spend? Is the credit card this? So it's very clear that money is very important. But if somebody is doing something wrong, and is that you don't even mention anything, that lowers it and reshuffles it to the bottom of the priority level. And that is going to be problematic. Okay, getting back, we want to finish up in paragraph Gimel. So therefore, the first thing that we said is that a person has to know what's going on. Afterwards, give the order. But, again, in paragraph Dalid, but with the proper care and sensitivity, that it will be accepted. Only then can you give the command to your spouse. Acharei ha'yedia sheteida v'tachpots ladat ki shalomo alecha shelo techta. But don't rebuke. There's another point. Don't rebuke before you checked it out. Because maybe there's more to the story than you know. And that's the ABCs of giving the benefit of the doubt. First, find out the facts. Right? Say your spouse bought lettuce which isn't Gush Katif. So it's not. Don't say, hey, why don't you buy Gush Katif? Or maybe say it's something in the way like, there was no Gush Katif lettuce. You want me to help you check it? Or something along those lines, right? In other words, first make sure that you have the yediyah, the knowledge, before you give the rebuke. And in the final point, paragraph Hey, Alken, Biknisat or HaShabbat Kodesh. All right, what are we talking about? We're talking about Friday evening, right before candlelighting. That is the sign, that is the time of the week that the light of holiness, the light of Shabbat, should be in our family. That is davka the time that, obviously, again, not with yelling, but in the proper way, that is the time to regulate the atmosphere in our family to be a religious, spiritual, uplifting atmosphere. And that's why the Gemara says, you should ask, davka Shabbat is about to enter, Isartem Iravtem Hadliku Etaner. La'rot etzuratam haromima vetikariutam, to show the importance of taking trumot to masrot, of eating good and kosher lettuce, of whatever it is. As soon as you show that you're interested, A, you're taking responsibility, shows that that topic is important. And second of all, when you ask about it, you are knocking in the nails in the atmosphere of the home to know that this is serious business. This is a priority. Bitor hanosim ayoter elyonim shel yisod chaye habayit uchvadam. Because the basic foundations of the life of a house of Israel and its honor is the ideals of the mitzvot of the Torah. We honor those ideals, and those are the ideals that we want to run our household.